The world of monastic schools in Bhutan is veiled in mystery. It is home to around 4,000 boys, some of them as young as five, training to become monks. In a groundbreaking project, UNICEF is entering this closed-off world to establish a child protection framework in a centuries-old order. The Czech branch of UNICEF is involved in the project, and in order to raise awareness of the problem, it has joined forces with Czech television to film a unique documentary that takes viewers where few have gone before, behind the walls of Bhutan's monastic schools. I spoke to the head of the Czech UNICEF branch, Pavla Gomba, and began by asking how difficult it had been to arrange the shoot.
Getting a shooting permit in Bhutan is challenging itself, but of course preparing such a documentary in the monasteries is even more of a challenge, and we were able to receive the shooting permit only thanks to our local colleagues who work for UNICEF in Bhutan.
Were there any restrictions?
We had to submit the storyline, and of course we identified a few places where we would shoot. But also there were some restrictions so that we had to respect the daily life in the monasteries. And also, for example, there was there were some special arrangements for shooting at night.
You spent 3 days with each boy, basically followed them around, filmed a report on their daily life there. Is that right?
Yes, and I think what is also unique about this documentary was that we were able to follow up on a story that we shot in Bhutan 5 years ago. So we identified the same boy and we followed up on the development or evolution of his story, and this is quite unique, I think, even worldwide.
So what is the daily life of these boys like in these monasteries?
I think that the life for these boys, some of them are as young as 5 or 6 years old, is quite challenging. They usually get up around 5 a.m., sometimes on special days, on special holidays, even earlier. And they have a very simple breakfast, butter tea with some biscuit. And for the whole, almost the whole day, they memorize the texts. And the life is very, very modest there in terms of food, in terms of environment. And sometimes they even don't have any chance to play. They also lose the ties to their family. And in most monasteries, they don't have any formal education. It may be surprising that in many monasteries in Bhutan, you can still find corporal punishment.
We tend to imagine that although the life of a boy training to be a monk is physically demanding, it is considered a huge privilege, a mission, a vocation that makes the child very special. But very often these children are simply orphans, the poorest of the poor, or they're handicapped, physically handicapped children whose families can't support them. Is that not so, that these monasteries are actually filled with orphans and serve as orphanages?
I think it would be very, very unusual to expect boys who are so young to become monks out of their own conviction. So the main reasons that lead these boys into monasteries are poverty, loss of parents, and of course it's also for some of them tradition. Tradition that is very, very much respected in the Bhutanese society.
You mentioned corporal punishment. Until fairly recently, no one knew what went on behind the walls of these schools. They have their own order, their own courts. Now UNICEF Bhutan is trying to change that and introduce the concept of children's rights into these monastic schools. How does UNICEF try to do that? It's a centuries-old order. Is there a huge opposition to this? Are the monks afraid of traditions being disrupted?
I think that the situation varies from one monastery to another, but UNICEF tries to work with the central monastic body, and also quite recently, I think 1.5 years ago, we supported establishment of a special commission for child rights in the monasteries that is formed mainly of monks themselves and lamas. And they educate the other abbots and lamas in the child rights education. But of course, it will require a lot of time, and there is very little evidence about the child protection issues in the monasteries. Yes, corporal punishment is rather usual. And there are also some anecdotes about sexual exploitation of boys in these monasteries. But of course, they are indirect. We just know that some of the boys and young monks suffer from sexual transmitted diseases. So there is some indirect evidence that this may happen in at some of the monasteries as well. But of course, it's an illicit activity, so there is very little statistics or evidence about that.
Are these monks receptive to what you are trying to say, to what you're trying to change, or do they simply want to continue living the way they have for centuries?
Well, wherever we work, we always respect the local culture and local traditions, with one exception, and these are traditions that may be somehow harmful to health or even life of children. And the practice of sending very, very small boys into monasteries is one of those exceptions. But of course, we work with the whole community, and we also sensitize the community, and we try to encourage them to send their boys, their sons to monasteries at a later age when it's more of their own decision. That's one thing. And we have, I could visit several fantastic monasteries where the monks or the boys had basically what they needed, and they were able to play, they were even able to play football, they were able to continue their education, they studied English, for example. So I think it very much depends on the heads of these monasteries. But of course, we would like to spread these positive examples to the whole country.
What are you trying to change most? In what way do these boys, young children, very often suffer the most? Is it psychological? Is it physical?
I think it's both, because some of these monasteries, there are two systems in Bhutan. Some monasteries are governed by the state and funded by the state, so they receive ratios and they are, let's say, better off. But some monasteries are community monasteries, which are supported only by the villagers and the communities, and they usually live a very, very modest life. So we can still find monasteries without, for example, source of clean, safe water. So hygiene may be one of the challenges. Also, provision of health care to these boys can be a challenge at some parts of the country, especially the most isolated regions where it's within a few days of walk to reach any health facility. So these are the basic challenges. Of course, nutritious food can be also a challenge at some of them. But I would say that probably the psychological support, and especially the possibility to keep the family ties and to continue the education is the biggest priority for UNICEF in Bhutan.
Was it hard to establish a rapport with these young boys?
Well, for me, it was very rewarding to see the boy that we shot the documentary with 5 years ago, and to see how his life evolves. So, of course, for him, he still remembered the TV crew, and that was easy. Of course, when you come as an outsider to this environment, it needs some time for the boys to feel comfortable. But we had a wonderful support of our local staff, and also everywhere where we went, we were supported by the teachers and the heads of monasteries.
When you try to change the order in these monasteries, you know, to the effect of actually introducing children's rights, the concept of children's rights in these monasteries and helping children, what leverage do you have? Is it financial assistance?
Yes, of course, there are some programs that do need some assistance, especially training of the teachers and lamas, and also the ongoing function of this child rights committee that we helped to establish. But there are a lot of things that go without money, and it's more about awareness. It's about, let's say, positive motivation of those that are involved. And we from the Czech Republic, we also right now run a campaign to support these programs to protect children in the monasteries. So far, we have raised about 1.5 million Czech crowns.
That is something that I was leading up to. What was your intention in filming this unique documentary? Apart from raising awareness of the problem, are you trying to raise more money for these orphans, for these monasteries?
Yes, for us, it's not enough just to show the reality and sensitize the Czech public about what's happening in such a faraway country. But the main priority was to raise funds to support such programs, and hopefully we would be able to come back in a few years and also provide the feedback to our donors in the Czech Republic how their funds have helped in these specific places.
And what has the public response been like?
It's difficult to compare to other campaigns because this team is so special, and also, Bhutan is a very special country, but of course, it's not a natural disaster, it's not an emergency, but so far we have had very positive responses from our donors and supporters. We even had a few schools that were primary schools that were inspired by the documentary and would like to organize events or smaller campaigns at their schools.
How did the Czech branch of UNICEF come to select this particular topic? Why did you choose Bhutan and monastic schools?
We have supported Bhutan for over 10 years, and I've had the opportunity to visit the country 4 times, so I can also see very positive development and programs in the area that we have supported so far. Our priority was clean water, education, and also protection of these child monks. So we do have results over those 10 years. And because we are a smaller country, we tend to focus on smaller countries as well, where even with little funds or not so much funds, there are very tangible results.